Guy walks into a psychiatrist's office. He complains, "It's good to be in something from the ground floor. I came too late for that, I know. But lately, I'm getting the feeling that I came in at the end, that the best is over." The punchline, not that Tony Soprano could ever understand it, was that the show that told his story represented not the end of something, but the thrilling ground floor. Other shows had made the revolution possible, but The Sopranos is the one that made the world realize something special was happening on television. It rewrote the rules and made TV a better, happier place for thinking viewers, even as it was telling the story of a bunch of stubborn, ignorant, miserable excuses for human beings. And all of it came from the mind of a man who wanted nothing more than to be out of the TV business at the time he wrote that first script. "I was never that happy in television," Sopranos creator David Chase admits. He'd been writing TV dramas for a couple of decades, had worked on The Rockford Files, Kolchak, The Night Stalker, the short-lived 70s drama that helped inspire The X-Files, Northern Exposure, and I'll Fly Away, among other impressive resume lines, and had created a critically well-regarded but short-lived series called Almost Grown. And in the mid-90s, he signed a development deal with the Brillstein Gray Production Company for reasons he couldn't quite understand. "They made this development deal with me, and people there said they believed I had this great TV series in me," he says. "I thought, me? A great TV series? I'm not even crazy about doing TV. I want to break out and do movies." Given the shows he had written for, what exactly was so burdensome about the business for him at that point? "I was really lucky," he says, "in that I worked for and with some really talented people, and on my own. But I'd had, either by myself or with these other people, had to sit through these moronic meetings in which every timid, weak, vapid idea was always preferred to anything revolutionary or new. That was one thing. I was never surprised watching hour-long TV, and I never saw anyone on there who behaved like real human beings." The Sopranos would not be timid, weak, or vapid. It would surprise everyone in the business, including Chase, who never expected the thing to get made, much less in an environment where it could both succeed and stay true to his vision. Among the ideas he was fighting against was the notion that a TV series had to have a likable character at its center. Why, TV executives have been asking for 50 years, would viewers want to come back week after week to watch a jerk, a crook, or worse? There's a famous scene in Paddy Chayefsky's script for Network, a movie that predicted the reality tabloid state of our pop culture with stunning accuracy, but didn't have the optimism to allow for the flip side demonstrated by shows like The Sopranos, where a board development executive rattles off the descriptions of the shows under consideration for next season. Every one of them has a main character described as crusty but benign. That was complex TV characterization for decades. A hero could have the faintest hint of an edge, but only if we were reminded early and often that he was ultimately pure of heart. Even Sipowicz from NYPD Blue, introduced to viewers as a drunken, profane, sexist, out-of-control bigot, ultimately sobered up, had a pair of sincere romances, fathered two babies, became a mentor, and by the finale had cleaned up his act to the point where it wouldn't have been implausible if he'd been made a candidate for sainthood. Tony Soprano, on the other hand? Tony was crusty, sure. He was not, however, benign.